Good morning, everybody. Hope y'all are doing well today. It's good to be here this morning. I'm very appreciative and thankful that Chris would give me the opportunity to come and share with you guys today. I'll tell you a little bit about that video in just a minute, but before I do anything, I always like to pray. So let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, here I am. And God, I pray today that you would use me. That God, whether I speak a little or I speak a lot, that they would be your words and not mine. That God, whatever we say today, that it would penetrate our hearts. That we would leave this place today not the same. But we would be changed by the power of your words, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That we recognize who you are, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I am thankful to be here. It is always good to share about the Lord Jesus. Y'all sang songs today. Aubrey did a great job in teaching this morning. And everything that we sang and everything that he taught was about one man. And that's Jesus Christ. You see, there was a time in my life that I walked without him. But I want y'all to know there was a time in my life that I met a man that he touched me. Amen. And he made me whole. And forever am I changed. And now I boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever I go, wherever my Lord may send me. And that's what we're going to talk about today, being sent. Because you see, it's not just me. It's all of us. Amen. You see, God's commandments in Scripture is not just for me. It's for all of us. And we're going to talk about that a good bit today. One thing I'll tell you about this church, y'all have a really good air conditioner. I'm going to tell you. Because my wife and I sitting over there about to freeze this morning.
And I turned it up.
Well, I thank you, brother. Because I was shaking so much, somebody thought, man, he's about to get the spirit right there. So, a little bit about the video. I became involved with an organization several years ago called Equip Us. And what we do, we are what we call nowadays short-term missionaries. So we go out at a week at a time to different places and we share the gospel, we teach, we preach, we do all kinds of different things. Our primary mission is to teach and preach the gospel. We go over to the Dominican Republic, which is where this was. I'll tell you a little bit about that. I actually filmed that going into the church where I would be teaching and preaching. That particular area there in the Dominican Republic, some of you in this room has probably went on a cruise and have been to the Dominican Republic and seen how beautiful it is over there. And man, it's like, man, I'd like to go over there and live. That is the Dominican Republic. You see, what you see on that very small piece of shoreline there that's very protected and sealed off is for the tourist, us. But real life is what you see there. And this particular village that we serve in is about 1,000 homes, which about 5,000 people live in. And we go over there and we teach the pastors in that area the Bible. That's what we do. We teach them the Bible. Matter of fact, I just came back from that spot, 2 weeks ago? Has it been 2 weeks? About 2 weeks ago, I came back. It's my second trip over there to that specific spot. Now, I mentioned earlier how well your air conditioning system is in this church. You see, they don't have that over there. And it's pretty warm. I can tell you. The humidity is very high, and it's pretty warm over there. So, you know, after about 10 minutes of me speaking over there in their church, which has a tin roof, and I'll have to admit, Somebody must have given them a little bit of money, because when I went over this last time, they had fixed all the holes in the roof so we didn't get wet when it rained. But after about 10 minutes speaking, you're just soaking, drenching wet because it's just so hot. But it's just so good. It's just so good. You know why? Because I have found out that God blesses us when we're obedient to His call. You see, we wonder so many times, why don't I get the blessing? Why don't I get to feel what other people talk about feeling? Why can't my life be fulfilled? Why can't I have peace in my life? It's because we're not obedient to what God has simply called us to do. Jesus gave us all a command, didn't He, when He left? I'm going to give you some statistics today about missions. It's probably going to blow your mind. Probably didn't realize how good or how bad it might be. I told y'all that I was a changed person. I am. I'm radically changed. I think sometimes my kids think I spend way too much time serving God and not enough time in my family. And I recognize that. I recognize there is times that I probably absolutely should spend more time with my family and with them. But God has a very, very strong calling on my life. And that is to serve Him wherever I am. And I feel like, just as Aubrey mentioned earlier, one of the greatest ways that we can teach our children and our grandchildren is to be an example for them. And I haven't always been the greatest example for my family. There's times earlier in my life where I stumbled and fell and did things that I shouldn't do. But once again, I met a man. You know, one of my questions I would have to ask you as a church today: have you met that man? I mean, have you had a true encounter with the Savior? Saul, he had a true encounter, didn't he? And it changed him completely. We need to have that same encounter with Jesus Christ, because once we have that encounter with Jesus Christ, it will change us forever. You know, the problem is, a lot of us don't want to be changed. We like who we are. Right? We're happy with who we are, where we are in life. But God has different things for us to do. I have some scripture for you today. You know, one of my favorite passages, especially since I have been so involved with missions, is Isaiah 6:8. It says, "I heard a voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then Isaiah said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" You see, that's where we want and need to be today. We need to be ready, we need to be willing, and we need to be obedient to the calling that God has on our lives. Now, certainly, all of us have been called into missions. You may not understand or know that, but you are. If I ask you the question today, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? What would you answer me? Yes or no? You are a follower of Jesus Christ, which means that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Is that correct? All right. So as a disciple of Jesus Christ, then, you have been given a commandment, because Matthew 28:19-20 tells us to go, which is an action thing, right? He didn't, and that doesn't mean for us to go and find the fourth pew 3/4 of the way in and sit down. That's not what He meant there, right? He said, go where? Where did He tell us to go? Jerusalem, which for you and I, where would Jerusalem be? For me, it would be Scottsboro, Alabama. But for you, it would be Westville, Bonifay, Ponce de Leon. That's your home, that's your community, right? And then He goes on and tells us to go into Samaria and even all parts of the world. He did not say, if you have time, brother, if you have time, would you please go and share the gospel? Would you please go and tell other people about me? Would you go tell them about the love? Would you go tell them the time that I hung on a cross for them so that they might live, so they might have life everlasting? If you have the time, would you go? He didn't tell us that, did he? No, he said, go. Now, what does that look like? What does that look like? If we go on and we look in the chapter of Acts, which, by the way, if you don't realize this, we are all living today in the chapter of Acts, or the book of Acts, I should say. You see, the book of Acts is an incomplete book. You see, Jesus started the whole thing, and then he got his disciples going. He told them to go and make disciples. Go and tell other people about me. And since you and I are disciples, we are continuing on that process. We are to be going and telling other people about me. I had a brother come and preach at our church the other day, and he really humbled me because he was talking about this time where he, and this was a true story. So this man that lived in this neighborhood lived by one of the deacons of the church. And this man, somehow or another, came to know Christ. After years, this deacon had lived by this man for years and years and years. And this man had come to know Christ. Well, one day, he met the deacon, the neighbor. And he said, man, why didn't you come over and tell me sooner about this Christ? Why didn't you come tell me about this Jesus? You see, that's where we are a lot of times, isn't it? Our own neighbors. We don't even go and tell them. We don't even go invite them to church. You know, one of the programs that we started in my church back in Scottsboro, Alabama, I go to Baptist church there, and one of the things that we began to do this year was community evangelism. And that way we get everybody involved, or we try to get everybody within the church involved in evangelism, all right? Because we're terrified to go out and witness to people. We're terrified to go tell somebody about your story of Christ. It scares us. But what we started doing is we invited people from the church to go out with us into the neighborhood. And so far this year, on two different occasions, we have knocked on 700 doors. And if the opportunity presented itself, we would witness. And the least thing we could do was invite somebody to church. Amen. You know why you're here today? Probably because somebody invited you to church. According to the Barna Group, 85% of church members became church members because somebody personally invited them to church. Who have you invited lately? Who have you witnessed to lately? You see, I'm not your pastor, so I can say these things. Now, he might not never invite me back after today, but one thing I will tell you this about myself, I am unashamed of the gospel, and I will always tell you the truth. And it is not what I say, it is what God says. What Randy Godwin or Randall Godwin says don't amount to a hill of beans. It ain't worth nothing. But what Jesus says is everything. And if we would only learn to trust and obey what He has told us to do, you would be amazed at the difference in your life. You know, we go around so many times, don't we? Oh, woe is me. You know, man, I got this going on. I got that going on. I just got so much trouble and strife in my life. And maybe then we might pray and say, Lord, I need a little help here. Right? Y'all know who Charles Spurgeon is? Y'all probably read some of him. He's a pretty smart guy. He used to be anyway. He's gone on to heaven now. But he said something one day. He said, if you think little of what God has done for you, you will do little for Him. You think about that. What has He done for you today? Think about that. Everything. Right? He's done everything. Died on the cross for us. So He tells us to go. I found a few of these on the internet. You know, you can find anything you want to on the internet these days, right? This is pretty good stuff. And here's another one from Charles Spurgeon I really like. You know, he does not mince words, though, right? I mean, he's just straight up. Man, you better be ready. But it says, every Christian is either, listen, it says, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Woo! Pretty tough stuff. Anybody know who Kirk Cameron is? Remember, what was that show he had a long time ago? Family Ties, that's what it was, Family Ties, yeah. Well, you know, old Kirk, he is really a very strong Christian, and he goes out, and he's doing a lot of great things. He really is. Growing pains, there it is, there it was, there you go. I actually got to go hear him speak one time. He did a great job, but he made this statement. He said, if you had the cure for cancer, if all of a sudden, my nephew back there, Jeff, he come to hear me today. Thanks for coming, Jeff. But he's a pretty smart guy. He's a pretty smart guy. And he can come up with all kinds of things. But if he ever come up with a cure for cancer, what would you do, Jeff? You wouldn't hide it. You'd go tell the world because you want to make a little money off of it, wouldn't you? But you'd tell everybody. You'd want everybody to know about the cure for cancer, wouldn't you? Goodness, people. We got the cure for everything. Amen. Everything. Why are we telling people about it? Man. We need to light a fire up under us. We need to get going. I look out here, there's a couple of empty pews. Why? Is it because your town is not big enough to fill them? No. You see, the reason that there's not people in here, where there's a lot of reasons, right? And we're quick to blame everything except what? Us. Right? I'll tell you what, we Christians are the very best at pointing fingers. Right? We do that a lot. You know where the pointing the finger needs to come? Every time we do that, guess what? There's three of them pointing back at me. Because I'm the real problem. You see, it's not them, it's me. If I would simply do what I'm supposed to do, the church would be full. Matter of fact, you'd have to start saying, man, I'll tell you what, it looks like we're going to have to add on to this church. Because it's just, you know, we can't fit everybody in here. So what are we doing? You see, I go on foreign missions, but I also started going on domestic missions. The domestic mission that I just went on here a month ago, my wife and I went on a mission trip to the state of Washington and the state of Oregon. Portland, Oregon, and Vancouver, Washington. They are literally right across the river from each other there on the Columbia River. We have a pastor there that we have been supporting for the last about 6 years that went up there to start a church in that area. And I don't know if you've been up there and spent much time in that area, but it is an area of the United States of America that is unchurched. Okay? They're unchurched. And what I mean by that is they have absolutely no church legacy. You see, where you live in the Bible Belt down here, everybody's a Christian. Right? Everybody's a Christian here. Oh, yeah, yeah. I went to church last year. Right? On Easter. But you see, up there, Mom and Dad never went to church. Grandma and Grandpa, they never went to church. They're unchurched. The majority of the people there. Okay? And so, our friend, Pastor Ryan Sidham, went up there 6.5 years ago. He felt the call to go there. And he goes up there to find out about setting up a church. And so when he got there, this particular community there, Vancouver, Washington, he had surveys printed. And on that survey, he had two questions. He said, do you want a church in your community? Do you need a church in your community? And he got a 100% response that said no. He did not receive a single survey that said, yes, we would like to have a church in our community. Not one. So what do you think Ryan did? Tuck tail and run? No. He set up a church. 6.5 years later, he has his 80 members going to that church. That's great. It's fantastic. And I was telling Chris about this. I'll share it with you real quick if I can find it in my Bible. He has, I don't know if you have one here at your church, but I know at our church, if you're a visitor and you come, we have a little card you can fill out, right? Tells who you are. If you're so brave enough, you can put your number and information on there and maybe you'll get a phone call. So Ryan does the same thing. Now Ryan does things different there. All right, so he has church about once a month. He has church like we're having right now. We'll have a regular gathering of church, and he has church. The rest of the time, you know what they do? They go to the community. Their church members goes out into the community to share the gospel, to have certain events that they'll have. The event that we did, it was actually called a free-for-all yard sale. And I won't go into all that, but we ended up having 500 people come to this yard sale. Guess what we get to do when they come? We get to witness to them. We get to ask them, hey, you going to church anywhere? We have a great church right here. We'd love to have you come. We've got this, we've got that, right? And you invite people to church. So whenever that happens, any of those times when people come to his church in any way, he has them, or he'll at least ask them, he'll hand them a card and say, hey, would you mind filling out this card? But this card's a little different. It is a little different. It says, where are you? See that? It says, where are you? Are you not curious at all about spiritual things? Are you a little bit curious? Are you a believer? Are you a disciple? Where are you at in your spiritual walk with God? So they circle one, put their name on there. And he says, by far, the most that's ever circled in here says, not curious. Not curious. But Ryan, if they put their number and name on here, he calls them anyway. And says, hey, how about having coffee sometime? You see, he's actively involved in pursuing people. You see, that's where we fail so many times. We're not actively involved in pursuing people. That video that you watched earlier, they're not anything like you and I, okay? But they're everything like you and I. Now, there's not a person in this room, no matter what kind of economic level that you might think you are, compared to the people that I go and witness to there, you're rich beyond imagination compared to what they have. My interpreter, that I don't know if y'all saw that, but when it showed in the video, I showed the front of the car, had a guy driving and a guy sitting in the front seat. So the guy sitting on the left that was driving, he's my driver and he's also my bodyguard while I'm there. And then the guy on the right, he is my interpreter while I'm there. The interpreter by far makes the most money of anybody around there. He makes more money than any of the people that live in actually that 1,000 homes there. And he makes about $800 a month. And that's great money in the Dominican Republic. I mean, that's really good money. All right, and so like the people that I'm there with, none of them have running water in their homes. Okay, none of them have running water. They don't have electricity. The only way they get electricity is they go steal it from a pole out there if they can find it, and they run a line to their house. And so like when we're having church over there, like right now, if we were having church, what would be going on is they had like fans on the walls hooked up to that electricity, and they'd have lights. And the lights go dim, the lights go bright. Lights go dim, lights go bright. Lights go dim, lights go bright. Fans come on, fans go off. Fans come on, fans. And it's constant. That's what they're used to. But you know what they do? Those same people, what we would consider impoverished people, at the end of that day, around 7:30 that evening when everything is finished, and I walk outside that church to look, like if we walked out right now, I would see, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 cars out there, right? I wouldn't see any cars. Why? Because they walked for miles just to come hear us teach and preach. They have a desire to know God. They have a desire to know God's Word. You see, they humble me every time I go over there. Man, I am so spoiled. God, help me. Help me. And then I go to Washington State, our own country, right? Where we're supposed to be this Christian nation, but yet large parts of our country don't know anything about the man Jesus. They don't know anything about him. You see, that part of the country is much, much worse off than where I go in the Dominican Republic. Much worse off. It's really an eye-opening experience to go there, because you'll go in the city there in Vancouver, and they have a waterfront there on the Columbia River, and it's really nice. It really is. It's nice. They got really nice restaurants, really good restaurants. It's different establishments and stuff right there on the river bank. And then you look around, and you look right over there. About 1,000 feet away, and you see what it's really like there. And you see tent after tent after tent after tent after tent of homeless people selling and doing drugs, because it's legal there. You can do that. You can walk nude in the streets if you want to over there. It's legal there. Anything you want to do, it's legal there. Right? That's in America, people. That's America. You know why it's gotten so bad? You know why it's gotten so bad? Because we're a very disobedient bunch. You see, we failed God's command. We didn't go like we should win. We're comfortable where we are, so we don't go. Oh, we come Sunday morning, and we say amen, we sing, and then we go home. And if we're really pushing it, we'll come back on Wednesday. But what do we do in between? You know what God loves? It's not us coming and singing, although I love it. You know what God really loves? God loves obedience. You see, that's the only way He really knows you love Him. You see, Jesus told us, He said, if you love me, what should we do? Keep my commandments. He told us that for a reason. Because the very last thing that He told us, right before He ascended, right before the cloud took Him up into heaven to sit on the right hand of the throne with the Father, where He is right now, what did He tell us to do? He told us to go, right? He first told them to wait, didn't He? He told His disciples, He said, y'all go wait, because I'm sending something to you. Right? It's that very thing that you and I, if every Christian has living inside of us, and that is the Holy Spirit. All right? Acts 1:8 says, but power will come on you. Right? When the Holy Spirit comes. And through that same power, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, lives in us today. Now that's a hard thing for us to grasp, isn't it? That Jesus Christ could live in me. The same power that lifted Him from the dead lives in me and enables me to do what I do. It allows me to go to the Dominican Republic and be unafraid. I told my sister this morning, I think it was, I said, I'm ready to die for my Lord. I'm ready to die. And I am. Oh, I don't want to die. Yes, I do. You know, here's another thing. You know, a big reason we don't really do what we're supposed to do. I'm just going to get real with y'all. You know why we don't do what we're supposed to do? Because we don't really believe. We don't really trust. If we did, we'd do like Peter. We'd step out of the boat. We'd get out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat, people. We got to get out of the boat. Now, how can you do that? How do you get out of the boat? Randy? Or Randall, I guess. I call myself Randy, because I'm Randy most of the time. When I come home to my family, I go back to Randall. All right. So that's why you might hear me say Randy or Randall. But, you know, I battled with this. I said, Lord, what am I going to be called in heaven? But you know what? The Bible tells me I'm going to have a new name. Whoo! Ain't going to be Randy or Randall. Well, that's going to be confusing, isn't it? What in the world? That's exciting to me, though. It's exciting because I know without any doubt where I'm going. And I have learned to trust God. I've learned to trust what the Bible says. Jesus' word is the truth. He stated himself, I am the what? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Do you believe him this morning? Where are you in your walk? Because if we're where we need to be, we're going to be doing what God called us to do. You know? I had a lot of different scriptures I was going to share with y'all this morning, but I told Chris, he asked me, he said, so how long are you going to talk? I don't know. What you going to talk about? I don't know. We hadn't got there yet. But God is good, isn't he? Amen. Isn't he? What are we doing about that? What can you do? So that's the next question. What can you do? All right, y'all ready? Here we go. I got some statistics. As all my research I could find, I believe these are fairly accurate. You know how many people there are in the world? I know I'm going to probably go long, but I apologize. Y'all don't have anywhere to go, do you? Good. All right, so there's between 7 and 8 billion. All right, some people say 7.3, 7.5, 7.8. Some people say 8.3. I don't know exactly. Nobody really does. But it's a lot of people in the world, right? How many of those do you think is Christian? How many of those do you believe claim to be Christian? 2.3 billion. That leaves a lot, doesn't it? You see, Jesus is the only way. Do y'all hear that? It's the only way. There is no other. Okay, 2.3 billion people are Christian. 1.7 billion are Muslim. Islam. It is by far the fastest growing religion in the world today. By far. Matter of fact, in the world as we know it, in the United States of America, Christianity is falling. Our churches are dying. Okay? Because why? We have failed to evangelize. We have failed to evangelize in America. Islam growth rate is 73% versus 35% of Christianity, and that's in the whole world. By the year 2070, they estimate that Islam will be the majority religion for the entire world. If nothing changes. If we continue on the trajectory that we're going right now, that's what's going to happen. There are 16,562 people groups in the world. And of these groups, 9,715 have been reached by the gospel, which leaves 6,847 people groups still unreached. So we as a church have a lot of work to do. There was another video that I was going to let Chris show this morning, but I knew it would be tight with time as it was. And it's called the 1040 window. And the 1040 window is an area of the world, 10 degrees north and 40 degrees. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's called the 1040 window. And it's that area of the world that encompasses Asia and Africa. Okay? And the majority population of the world, that's where it exists today. 86% of all unreached people are in that group called the 1040 window. 90% of foreign missionaries work among already reached people groups. Because it's easier that way. Despite Christ's command to evangelize, 67% of all humans from AD 30 to the present day have never even heard the name of Jesus. 70,000 people die every day in unreached worlds without Jesus. We have a lot to do. Okay? We have a lot to do. Where can you start? How can you help? There's all kind of ways that we can go. Sometimes we can't physically go like I do. Sometimes we can't. But there's other ways that we can help. And I understand from talking to Aubrey and Chris a little bit that you guys do a great job in tithing and a great job in sending money to missions. Right? If we can't go, if we can't physically go, then we need to be helping those that can go. That's important. Here's what's happening, though. We're not doing a real good job as a whole church. All right? In 2001, there were 1.1 million missionaries in the world. 1.1 million. Today, there's 400,000. We're going down fast. We're dwindling. And actually, there's only 140,000 Protestant missionaries in the world. That's you and I. That's what we believe. We're Protestant, right? We have 140,000 missionaries. We have a lot of work to do. There's about 144,000 missionaries like myself, which we're called part-time missionaries. I go two or three times a year to different places in the world. I'm probably going to get more than that. But God has called us all to go. For me, He's worth it. He's worth it. Right? I want everybody that I know to know Him the way I know Him. Because when that happens, our lives, they change. You know, the fact is, you got people driving by out there right now. And on your way home, you're going to drive by people's homes and they're sitting in their homes and they're dead. They're dead. Spiritually dead. On our way to hell. And they need somebody. Hey, John. How you doing? Hey, man. I just want to come by and let you know that Jesus loves you. And we would love to have you come down to our church and visit us sometime. You know, how hard is that? How hard is that to do that? Let somebody know that you're caring about them, that God loves them, and you would like to have them as part of your family. So let's go. Let's do that. I hope that something I said today will encourage you to be the hands and feet of Jesus. But let me say this. I would be remiss to not offer you something, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ. If you're here today and He is not your Lord and Savior, what better day in the world there is to allow Him today to become your Lord and your Savior. Where the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and our guarantee that we are children of God. We have been adopted into His kingdom. I love God. And I love you. You know, one thing I go do and I go and I tell these people that I minister to all the time and they become my people. Like when I walk in the church over there, they're so excited. Because here I am, come over there to be a part of them. And I want them to know how much I love them and I care for them. Same here. We need to love one another.
Yeah,
right? But we need to start loving those out there. Might not look just like us, but God loves them too. Amen. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Probably a lot of things that I had here that I could share with you, but I know Chris would get mad at me if I keep you here at about 8 o'clock tonight, so I won't do that. I tell you what, if you ever meet the man that I met, change your life.
Amen.
Either my sister will be able to tell you what God has done in my life. The thing I didn't mention to you that I would be very remiss if I did not. You see, one of the greatest things that we have to do in the book of Ephesians, God gives us the armor that we need, right? He talks about all of those things, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, right? The breastplate of righteousness, the boots of peace, all these things. But you know what it is on the end that most people will leave off of that? It's prayer. Yeah. It is the greatest thing that we have. Pray for me. Pray for me that God will continue to use me, that God will continue to give me the courage to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And then pray for one another, that God will light a fire into all of us, that we would be willing to go, no matter what that might look like.
If you'll stand, and then we're going to sing just a couple of verses this morning, and if you have a prayer need, if you want to come pray, we'll pray with you. Amen. Whatever that need might be this morning, while we sing.